Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Any moment now, there's going to be a fierce outbreak of scum.
Hey, this is Buck the Blood Vessel from Bad Manners.
Hey, what's up? This is Amy from The Interrupters.
Hey, it's Safer Mustard Plug.
Hi there, you wonderful Scar listeners. I'm Pauline Black.
Hey, this is Roger from Less Than Jake.
Hey, hey, this is Dan Vitale, singer of Bim Scala Bim and Steady Earnest.
Hey, guys, this is Steve from The Resignators.
Hey, this is Dan Pete. Hey, everybody, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh, yeah!
How you guys doing? This is Chuck Robertson from the Mad Caddies. You're listening to Mr. Beefy.
God Nation.
Try to explain and you ask me why. A sinking feeling when I see you there. I should have known that you would never care. Too many times thinking this would change. I should have known that it would stay the same. You know we never see eye to eye. Try to explain and you ask me why. So what you did, heard what you said. What the hell are you doing here anyway? So what you did, heard what you said. What the hell are you doing here? So here we are at the same place again. Another night, got nothing happening. I got excited when you leaned on me, but then you never say what you mean. Why did you ask me out tonight? Why call me up and say that time is right? Now it's time to put down my head. With or without you, I'm going to bed. So what you did, heard what you say. What the hell are you doing here anyway? So what you did, heard what you say. What the hell are you doing here anyway? Ask me why. A sinking feeling when I see you there. I should have known that you would never care. Why did you ask me out tonight? Why call me up and say the time is right? Now it's time to put down my head. With or without you, I'm going to bed. So what you did, heard what you said. What the hell are you doing here anyway? So what you did, heard what you said. What the hell are you doing here anyway? I saw what you did, I heard what you said. What the hell are you doing here anyway? So what you did, heard what you said. What the hell are you doing here anyway?
Oh, basically, I'm very, very honored to have Steve from Area 7. They're playing on Friday night at the Nightcat. Yes, it's my 50th birthday party, and I've dragged along the boys from Area 7, as well as the Kitty Hawks, Pirate Sky Rebellion, Operation Big Jake Boston, and Old Schoolers Looney Tunes are going to fill out the bill as well. It's going to be an awesome night. Steve-O, first off, I have got to thank you for getting the boys out of early premature retirement to come along to the Nightcat and play.
Mate, about where we play these days, but Beefy, we couldn't think of a better guy to do it for. We know that you do a lot for the scene and you do a lot for with this program, so it wasn't hard to convince the guys to do it. We were planning on having a pretty low-key year this year. We have got a couple of shows booked up north, but we were trying to keep it pretty low in Victoria this year, but this is a good one to play for us.
Oh, appreciate that. Appreciate it. Now, I just realised as well, Area 7 officially formed in 1994. It's 30 years. 30 years this year. And in fact, somebody told me you actually formed in May. So it's actually kind of 30 years to the week. Happy birthday.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that. And obviously, I wasn't in the band then. So it's a lot before my time as well. But no, that's good to know. I'll actually check that out with Tomo because he's the keeper of facts. And of course, everybody knows Tomo's living in Pennsylvania in the US at the moment. So. He won't be back for that show, but we've got Azza, who's been playing with us for the last few years anyway, and Tomo comes back when he can. I think he'll be back in the middle of the year, but he won't be at this show. But I'll check that with the aficionado of the history of the band.
Yeah, I'm so proud to share a birthday with you guys, and even if you weren't in the band when it formed. But, I mean, talking about your role in the ska scene in Australia, do you kind of see yourself as a bit of an elder statesman in the scene?
To be honest with you, I've never really thought about it before. I just know I like ska and punk and alternative music in general. My life kind of changed the day I saw Madness here in 81 at Festival Hall. That really, really, you know, threw me into the ska world. And I met some people there that night and they had told me that there was these ska bands in Australia. One of them was Strange Tenants and the other one was Dickie Moron and the Rude Boys, later did become No Nonsense. And I sort of started to go and see those bands and help them out a little bit. And then next thing I knew, I was kind of roadieing for bands and managing bands and then singing occasionally with a band and just doing stuff like that. So, but do I see myself as an elder statesman? Kind of. Well, elder, yes, but not so much a statesman. I just like to get out there and have some fun. I think sometimes we take it all a little bit too serious, but at the end of the day, we're just a bunch of guys playing and girls playing music, you know?
No, exactly that. I was going to say about being an elder statesman, though, I think the whole process and the whole ska scene in general, ska punk and what we see in Melbourne, is bands being accessible. And the fact that, you know, we can go up to people like yourself or, you know, the Kitty Hawks, Francis from Resonators, Bruce from Strange Sense, and just be a fan and be a friend and just see them at gigs everywhere. Everyone's so accessible and, you know, there's no grandstanding at all. And I think that just makes it awesome.
100% agree with you on that. And that's the whole thing for the alternative scene for me is grandstanding doesn't really do much. And to be honest with you, and I've said this many times on stage and I really heartfelt mean it, if it's not for the fans, there is nothing, right? Because if the people aren't there, there is no show. So, you know, I don't think there's a space for the bands to feel too special about themselves. We just get up and play music. And, you know, someone said to me once, you know, I've just had my birthday and someone said to me, how long are you going to keep doing this for? And I said, well, you know what? While I'm having fun and while people still come, I'll play. But yeah, for me, it is a really accessible scene. It's how I got introduced to it. I become really good friends with Ian and Bruce very early in the piece back at the old post office hotel in Richmond, which is now, well, it's not, it was a 7-Eleven. It's not anything anymore, I don't think.
No.
And then I got to be friends with Murray from No Nonsense and sort of evolved through that. So, but yeah, it's been great fun and certainly I wouldn't change much in my life, that's for sure.
Now, you talk about the old guys. I had a few of the Looney Tunes on the show a couple of weeks ago. Adam Dennis tells me about the story at the Dookie Town Hall.
Oh, wow. Dookie Town Hall.
Yes.
Looney Tunes show?
No, it was I think it was a Yeah Yeah show.
Yeah Yeah show. So is it in the town hall where they filled the entire town hall up with dirt?
Oh, he didn't mention about this. He did say that the end of the show, the lights went out, and as people were unloading, the town hall turned into an orgy.
Yeah, pretty much. People who didn't pick up in the town hall went next door to the pub, broke into the pub and started cooking burgers. Did he tell you that?
No.
It was the weirdest show ever. It was the weirdest show. Imagine a country town hall in the middle of nowhere. They've lined the entire floor with dirt, and it was called, I can't think of the name of it now. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. But yeah. They put dirt in the town hall, and then people were coming, and it was like because it was an agricultural college there.
Yeah.
So they did that, and it was very farm-like, but there was some extracurricular activity even going on kind of in the front row during the show. It was pretty weird.
When he told us about the story, he said, you have to ask Steve-O and confirm that this happened and it was true. That was the main thing.
It happened. It was true. And as I said, the rest of the people, I do remember loading out, and I remember there were people in the kitchen of the pub next door, and they were cooking burgers, and that was when the police arrived. But they were actually cooking. They didn't run away. They were, like, just cooking burgers, but they'd broken into the pub to do it.
Oh, if only shows were like that today. You couldn't get people away.
No, mate, things have changed a lot since then. I could tell you 1,000 stories back in the past, but...
we'll have to do that another time, I reckon.
Yeah, then the radio.
Yeah.
Seems like we're almost back to where we began. So much has changed on the way. So much to go through with so little to show. Wouldn't have it any other way. Turn back the clock. Regrets may weigh on your mind, but still there's nothing that can change the facts. No way to go back in time. No one can say we didn't try. You know we gave it every possible chance. So life goes on each day by day, and now we're doing the best that we can. Seems people turn their back so quickly these days, and give up so easily. It takes so much more to stand your ground than to just let it be. So now we're left alone with nothing to do and almost nothing to say. A total lack of inspiration takes hold. We're looking for something to change. No one can say we didn't try. You know we gave it every possible chance. So life goes on each day by day.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, with the scar scene in Australia, I mean, it's very weird. I mean, you guys kind of made the breakthrough along with the Porkers to get on mainstream radio, and I'm guessing that was possibly kind of by accident or just being in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
Have you always kind of seen yourselves as outsiders to that mainstream scene?
You know what? To be honest with you, I sometimes feel like we're outsiders to the scar scene.
True.
If I'm being honest. I mean, the truth of the matter is that we were very clear when I first joined Area 7 anyway, I was very clear that, you know, I didn't want to be in, and all due respect to other bands, but I didn't want to be another two-tone cover band. I just didn't want to be that. I felt the two-tone was done so well back in the 80s that anytime I saw someone try to replicate two-tone, it just seemed like a cheap imitation. I'll say that except for the Untouchables in LA, because I thought they were amazing with the whole look, and they were smart and they had the scooters and had everything. But with all due respect, I just wanted to get away from the ska cliches. You know, being a guy who's into punk rock, ska, rockabilly, and a whole bunch of other things, I kind of had a different feel about it. And I think for Area 7, our strength has been that we breached that gap into the mainstream pretty well. We could get in and get on those spots. But it's really funny because we went back and played some shows actually just probably a couple of years now with Magic Dirt and, you know, Spider Bay and, you know, Sheehat and guys like that. And they treated us like we were old lost friends, which you sort of don't often get that love from the ska scene. I think a lot of people go, I think those guys think they're a bit too good for us. But it's not the case. It's just that we found ourselves playing the right sort of music at the right time. And I think you're absolutely right. It's just like, I kind of feel sorry for the Porkers in some ways, because Pete and the boys had been playing ska for such a long time and doing such a great job of it. But when No Doubt and Rancid and the Boss Tones broke through, it was almost like, who was the new kids on the block, or who were the new kids that they were looking for? And Triple J fell in love with us and looked after us. And I actually, you know, I've had this conversation with Pete, so it's nothing, you know, secretive, but I just felt we were in the right place at the right time playing the right song. You know, again, we happen to have a song out, No Logic, about racism. And, you know, lo and behold, Pauline Hanson was trying to get into politics. So all of the things fell into place at the right time. We had some great songwriters in the band, Dougal McNaughton, Chuck especially is a great songwriter. I threw in a few myself. Next thing you know, we're on Triple J's Hottest 100. And it just happened that way, you know. So, it's a long-winded answer to your question. But I think, you know, for us, definitely, let me just say this, right place at the right time, good timing. But I think we were also very good at bridging the gap between mainstream and the ska scene, and I think that helped us a lot.
No, no doubt about that. And the fact that most ska bands, I mean, you talk about No Doubt and a few other, Grinspoon and Magic Dirt and festival-style gigs, is you can slot a ska punk band in between any band's, you know, it could be a heavy metal, dark metal, anything, but the people will enjoy it. I mean, it's
100%.
We all know. I mean, I've followed it for God knows how long. You know, there's no such thing as a depressing ska song for a start. And I don't think you can get offended by having a good time, having fun and enjoying good music.
No, 100%. And one of the things we learned too, whether it was on a band's Warp Tour, or whether it was Homebake, or whether it was on, you know, Big Day Out, or whatever festival we were asked to play, we often got put in, usually put one or three spots. One, right at the start to get the party started. Two, right in the middle, especially after a sort of a dour band.
Yeah.
We saw that happen on Pushover so many times, and I won't mention the bands, but there were some alternative bands who were like way popular than us, but we'd get put on after them because we would bring the party back up.
Lift the mood, yeah.
Or they would say close the show. And Vans Warped Tour is a classic example. We would often be the last band on the day because they wanted to finish the show on a high. And so, you know, it was always really good like that. And you're 100% right. It's like the scales and upbeat music. It's a bit of fun. If you go out there and tell the crowd they're having a good time, they usually believe it, especially at a festival, and you just get on with it, you play your show. And, you know, I just love what we do. And to be honest with you, the last 25, 30 years has been a blur for me. We just seem to go from show to show to show to show. We don't do many shows these days, and we do that quite deliberately. We try to keep it, the shows that we want to do, more selective about what we want to do rather than what other people ask us to do. So we'll often get asked to play shows, and we'll just say, nah, we're not really interested in that. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Well, that makes it even more special playing for me on Friday night. So again, I do appreciate that. I was going to ask you, you mentioned about No Logic and Pauline Hanson. Would you ever consider yourself a bit of a political band? I know in the ska scene, we've bridged the gap of trying to push racial equality and being totally inclusive. And in the States right now, there's a massive push to get the trans community or the marginalized community involved with the ska scene, which is absolutely brilliant. And like I said, even from the late 70s through to today, to have a totally inclusive and accessible scene is just awesome. But is there a political message that you guys push? I know you're not a really political band. It's tough to be a political band when you're a ska band nowadays. I mean, the Specials are a little bit different back then.
Yeah, look, I think the politics back in the day was a little bit more defined than it is today, right?
Although it's coming round again right now. Yeah. Is weird.
But no, I think one thing that we've always agreed on in Area 7, and you know, Area 7, I always called it a bit of a safe space for people to meet. There's seven guys or eight now in Area 7. We all have different views and different politics. We also have different commentary around what we see and what our backgrounds are and where we've come from. However, what we do see is, and what we do agree is on, you know, social fairness, equality for people, everybody to have a go, everybody to feel like they're unthreatened. And that is what Area 7 is, right? So we see ourselves as very much a band with a social conscience. We're not interested in pushing political agendas, but we certainly are keen on pushing social agendas, and that is around equality and feeling welcome. And one of the things, you know, it's kind of interesting. Time is a funny thing. And we copped a little bit of flack a little while ago from our song Himbo, because there's a line in that song that says, what the hell is wrong with you? Are you a boy or a girl? And unfortunately, the time of that song hasn't aged well because things have changed. The song was never about a person's sexual identity. It was actually about fashion, and it was about fashion heads. That's what it was about. It was about people who were sort of like trying to meet a scene by being into a fashion, not about being because you love punk rock or you love ska. Or, you know, I always used to say, people queue up to go and hear somebody play records at a night club, but they won't queue up to see a band anymore. What the heck? You know, so it's interesting how time changes things. And people actually challenged us on that. We don't play the song anymore. And when we do, we change the words in it now because we don't want people to think that judging us today is unfair based on when that song was written. But we can kind of see what they say about it. So we just said, well, we drop the boy or girl thing in it because it shouldn't be a gender issue.
No.
So we'll do that. But it's interesting, you know, like, and you love this, Beefy. I got challenged when the Black Lives Matter thing happened about, we always would often have a black and white checkers associated with what Area 7 does. And you would have seen that historically in our posters. And that's one thing we have absolutely learned and kept from the two-tone days. I had people sending us messages and some really nasty messages about we were undermining the Black Lives Matter piece because we didn't do a black icon on our Facebook page. And I was like, do you actually understand what the black and white checkers mean and where that's come from? And I was actually writing back to people individually. But people were like really scathing. Like, you're undermining Black Lives Matter. It's like, really? I tell you what, I'm not going to put a black thing up. I'm not going to put a black or white thing up. I'll just put a photo of the band up then.
Yeah.
Does that make everything okay now? I just to me, you know, like I said, you have to be really careful about what you do these days. And yet, black and white checkers had been the universal commentary for black and white equality. And yet, here we are being told that we were undermining Black Lives Matter. They're the sort of things you have to deal with these days. So.
No, that's right. And not just that. I mean, I think in the early 80s in Australia as well, when Tenants and No Nonsense played, I mean, they did have a bit of an invasion from, I'm going to say, British skinheads trying to infiltrate the scene, because that was the fallout from the National Front getting involved with the Specials in early 80s and stuff like that. But man, I mean, I talked to the guy, Paul Willow from the Scapones, and he made such a brilliant point a couple of months ago, saying, you know, we've got to be thankful for the Windrush generation that came through to Britain in, you know, 60s and 70s, because without that happening, there basically wouldn't be a ska scene today. And it's 100% correct.
Yeah, 100% correct. And, you know, like, as I said, I look back on those days in the 80s when Thatcher was in government and you had the very real danger of a nuclear war. You had Ronald Reagan. The politics of the world was crazy. Apartheid still existed. The war was still up in between East and West Germany. I mean, all of those things were very real things. Like, you talk to people about that today, they're kind of irrelevant. But that was what the world was. And then when you had the whole thing around the British movement and the National Front in England causing riots in Toxteth and Brixton and all of that, that was a very real time of racial determination that was going on. And, you know, in Australia, we're a little bit blind to what was going on in our own backyard, if I'm being honest with you. And yet the two-tone movement spat out of England. And, you know, I agree that it was probably one of the most influential movements. And now it's starting to get recognition for just the influence that it's had on England and England's politics. And it's great to see, really great to see.
Yeah, we know that, you know, all great things come around again. I think we're in that position right now, especially in the UK, where it's strange things have happened. I mean, obviously, you follow it kind of as much as me, but for a prime minister come out to bring in national service for 18-year-olds in 2024, you just got to go, what's happening here? Are we back to the 70s and 80s? Hopefully the music will follow. Goes without saying. I mean, we've just seen This Town just launched in the UK and it's coming on Australian TV right now. So there's a bit of a groundswell to what is going on and seeing bands. I mean, obviously with Terry Hall passing, the Specials are kind of top of mind in the UK nowadays, as with everyone. And it's strange to see because, you know, all of a sudden you talk about the recognition from back in the 80s, all of a sudden 30 years on, 40 years on, even, gee, show me age now. It is top of mind, and these bands are now, for want of a better word, they are cool again.
Yeah, 100%. Well, look, the politics of the time is actually, like I was just saying before, back in the 80s, Thatcher, Reagan, real threat of war. When we look around what's going on in the world right now, it's really concerning, and you look at what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia, what China's doing, and China's been doing a lot of dodgy stuff in the disputed areas for the last 20 years. It's not new. You go back to the Uyghurs, you go back to their massacre in Tiananmen Square, you go back to their, you know, their grip on Taiwan, you go challenging what's going on in the south side of China Sea, you look at what's going on with them building bases. So there's some real concerns around what's going on in the world at the moment, and that's absolutely real. So I think usually what happens in when the world does get a bit, let's say a little bit less stable or instable, if you like, the music scene kicks up because protest starts to become a thing, and I think we're definitely heading into that right now.
Yeah, it's still the ultimate protest platform, isn't it? Music, and long may that go on.
Yeah, let's hope. But all we can do is, you know, like, we do our part. And as we said, we try to be a good influence. And that is to, you know, for all people to come along, have a good time, treat everybody with respect, treat everybody with equality. And that's what Area 7 is about.
Be number one. Don't worry about anyone. You must succeed, no matter what it takes. Society has values that you must uphold. Think for yourself, don't swallow what you're told. With them, these images to which we all aspire. Financial gain,
unrealistic expectations, and those who fail are thrown upon the pile.
Have never been shy to actually do your part. You went to East Timor, you played for the UN. Oh, many, many years ago, I flew you up to Queensland to play a sick kid skank to help out the children's hospital up there. You've done your bit for Peter Mac. You've done your bit for the homeless in terms of, what's the paper they sell?
Big Issue.
Big Issue, that's the one. You did that fundraiser for them as well. So you guys have always been at the forefront of giving back.
Oh, it's nice that actually somebody acknowledges it, because not many people do. I say this, we're privileged to be in a band. I've always said that. Not many people get to stand in front of 10,000, 100, 200, 500, 600 people and play a show. Most bands never get out of the garage. And, you know, for us to have had a career that spanned 30 years, but then to be asked to do things like play for the United Nations Soldiers in East Timor, play for the ADF around the country, to do things and put you in a position where you can actually do some fundraising for people. Wow, what an absolute privilege. And the biggest thing for me, we were associated with Canteen for a while, which was teenagers with cancer. cancer.
Yeah.
And we did a fair bit of work with them for a long time as well. And we're still really, it's really funny that you mentioned those things because we're still good friends with some of the kids that we knew who had, you know, some pretty serious health issues. Some of them have come out of them. Some of them are still soldiering on. Some of them have passed away, unfortunately. Chuck's actually in Pennsylvania. And right now, one of the soldiers who was actually with us, and I won't mention his name because of security reasons, but he was one of our security guys over there actually with Chuck right now, 22 years later, spending some time in America together. So we've kept really good friendships and we do still continue to support Defence Kids, which is supporting the kids of Defence First personnel who are deployed. So I think it's a privilege to get what to do what we do, and it's nice to be able to, you know, give back to those groups.
It goes without saying. I mean, when bands can give back and then maintain friendships for God knows how long and basically forevermore, it just means so much to everyone. And the fact that you can say that people, oh, forget about, you know, what you have put back in, I mean, it's pretty heartbreaking actually, because the fact that you can do it, and like you say, it is a bit of a privilege to do it, but the fact that you do it is very different to, well, I'm going to use the word grandstanding again, because people talk about it and, you know, they make statements and ironically don't follow it through or actually don't push on or actually do the things that you guys do. It's pretty devastating for a lot of people. And like I said, hopefully that will continue for as long as you're going to be a band.
You know, VP, the greatest thing about it is not that we do it. The fact is that we love doing it. One of the first things we learned when we went to East Timor was to just walk up to soldiers who were, you know, off duty or even if they were on duty, was, how are you? Where are you from? That's all you needed to say. And then from then, it was a big conversation just went on. And, you know, they've been talking to the same people for a year. Mm. So they want to hear from somebody different. And just, you know, we took footies with us and we just kick a footy around whenever we went somewhere. And straight away, you know, the New South Wales and the Queenslanders would start tossing it around like a rugby ball and the rest of us would start kicking it. So it's been a fantastic and unique opportunity, and we've gained and grown so much from just watching, and especially with the UN one, because we were out on patrols with Australian soldiers, but we were actually going to villages and talking to villages and playing with kids in villages, and to see what difference it makes to give a kid a bottle of water, it's just extraordinary, and we just don't realise how privileged we are here in Australia. We really don't.
I was going to say, in a long career, is that possibly the biggest highlight for you?
As a person, yeah, it'd be right up there. I've been pretty lucky to get a lot of different little things offered to us. And, you know, a lot of the guys in the, especially in the military and the police, will do things to sort of, you know, give us a look at a different part of life. And that's been really, really rewarding for us. It is definitely right up there with it. Like spending a month in East Timor and getting around and seeing villages and seeing the effort that you have this thing that you feel that the military are all guns and tanks, and it's not like that. The military were over there rebuilding villages, building buildings, building schools in their own time, by the way, so in their downtime, building water pumps, showing people how to farm without destroying the land. You don't realize the length and breadth of what the military brings, and it was really extraordinary to watch that firsthand. You'd be driving through in military vehicles through the jungle, and all of a sudden you'll hear kids' laughter, and you'll come to a village, and then all of a sudden you'll hear Australians talking, and, you know, they're building a school because the school had been, you know, knocked down and smashed during the interfet. So really amazing things that you see. You sort of have a different perspective on life.
Oh, mate, it's so good to hear. And I'm glad you've able to pass that story on, because, you know, it's not something that gets a lot of press nowadays. And the fact that East Timor has probably been left alone, unfortunately, by the Australians. And the fact that you could go out there and help our armed services and rebuild and help them, you know, have a bit of light whilst rebuilding basically a country that has been left a bloody rotten ruin by a government up there. It's fantastic that you're able to kind of pass that story back.
Well, there's a bit of work that still needs to be done there.
Oh, of course.
Western governments of the world do the right thing by the East Timorese people. They've suffered enough, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Take a walk through the city streets. Don't be surprised by what you find. They're littered with the evidence of the failures of mankind. You can blame the world, you can blame the law, you can even blame yourself. But how can we move forward with our backs against the wall? And you say that it's no big issue, but just take a look around. Apathy.
Melody won't change a thing in a world with a heart of stone.
There's an old man lying in the gutter, not a dollar to his name. No one knows his story, no one knows from where he came. Time passes by, he takes another drink, but no one even stops to think how he got to be there, or how he ended up that way. And you say that it's no big issue, but just take a look around. Apathy won't change a thing in a world with a heart of stone. And you say that it's no big issue, but just take a look around. Apathy won't change a thing in a world with a heart of stone. There's a young girl living on the streets, only trying to survive. She'll sell herself for any price just to keep herself alive. Her body bruised, her mind abused, she'll never be the same. But no one tries to help her when no one even knows her name. And you say that it's no big issue, but just take a look around. Apathy won't change a thing in a world with a heart of stone. City streets, don't be surprised by what you find. Littered with the evidence of the failures of mankind. You can blame the world, you can blame the law, you can even blame yourself. But how can we move forward with our backs against the wall? And you say that it's no big issue, but look around. Apathy won't change a thing in a world with a heart of stone. And you say that it's no big issue, but just take a look around. Apathy won't change a thing in a world with a heart of stone. No, apathy won't change a thing in a world with a heart of stone.
All right, we've gone really, really deep. I never thought we'd go this far, but there we go. Let's get back to Friday. It is going to be a huge, huge night. Obviously, yourselves playing possibly for the only time this year, which is a bit of a shame, but yeah, I'm very happy it's Friday.
It'll be the only time in Victoria, that's for sure.
Now, we've got, like I said, we've got the Kitty Hawks, who are fresh-faced, even though they had a previous career. I mean, I know you've been to see the Kitty Hawks a number of times. They are fantastic. I do like them. They've got a different approach to what we've seen over the years in Melbourne especially. But I've always been saying that we never really had a new ska band come on the scene like these guys. So it's great that you can support them as well.
100%. I think I might have spoken to you about this before, but I really rate those guys. And I know they've had a history with other bands. But look, for me, it was really great to see them. I bumped into them accidentally. They were rehearsing in the same studios. And I just happened to walk past them. And next thing you know, we were having a chat, and then I realized I knew Nat, and you know, we're having a chat. So really, really great to see a new band come on the scene. And you're right, they've got a different approach. I love their recording. I think they're really going to do things. And look, their timing might be right. I always say to people, you've got to catch that ska wave. It comes every 5 or 6 years. You've just got to be playing the right thing at the right time with the right credentials, and you can do anything you like.
And I think the right people behind them. I think with somebody like yourself, I'm kind of obviously very, very heavily invested with what they do, because I want to see a new band get on mainstream radio. I want to see a ska band on festivals and supporting big touring acts, because it's what we need. It's what, you know, gives us a kick in the ass to give us a bit of injection. And the fact that they have created some buzz and all of a sudden people are talking about them. Like I said, I'm at Kyle Castle. There's merch. People are wearing Kitty Hawks hoodies. It's, oh man, I was so happy.
Yeah. 100%. They're a really good band, and I love their originals. They're really good, and that's really coming along. Their songwriting shows some maturity, and I think they're going to do really well.
Let's hope so. Fingers crossed for that. We've also got Pirate Ska Rebellion. They're very different. They're kind of a Latin style ska. It's good to see those guys, although we just need them to become a bit more active. What they do, their sound is phenomenal. They put on awesome shows, so looking forward to seeing them as a bit of a late night party. We've got old schoolers, Looney Tunes, who you've butted heads with many, many times over the years. Man, I saw them on Saturday night. They're such a good band now.
Yeah. Look, I think they've always been a good band, and you know, like, I don't know if you know, but I managed them for a little while. They were definitely a good band. They've got a different lineup now, which is good, but look, they could be anything they want to be. Be good to see them, good to play with them, and Drinky's playing drums with them right now, and I know Drinky quite well from No Nonsense Day, so
yes. And Laurie Bongalis from No Nonsense as well is in Loonies. Their horn section is fantastic, but yeah, very oh, just they blew me away on Saturday night, honestly. That's the best show they've done for quite some time. And we've got the ultimate third wave ska cover act, Operation Big Jake Bostone. You mentioned him earlier. Old Dougal from Area 7 is manning the keyboards for Operation Big Jake Bostone.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a chat page between the old, I guess what you call the original Area 7 guys. So we keep in touch with each other. And as you know, Dougal left Area 7 because he moved overseas, as did Rowan. So a lot of people don't realise that. People used to say, well, why did Rowan and Dougal and the guys leave? Well, they moved overseas, so it was pretty hard.
Yes.
It'll be great to see Dougs again. He's a great guy. He's an exceptional musician, fantastic singer, fantastic songwriter, fantastic keyboard player. And I hope he gets up and does a song with us at least during the night. I'm pretty sure that'll happen.
I'm pretty sure that'll happen as well. So Friday night at the Nightcat, it is Beefy's big 50th birthday party featuring the legends themselves, Area 7. Steve-O, thank you for doing this. Thank you for playing on Friday. Thank you for bloody wrangling the troops together to finally dust the cobwebs off and play a show. I am very, very honoured. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm actually blown away by the support we're getting. It is phenomenal. And
no problem, mate. I mean, we like I said, it wasn't much to get the guys to play when, you know, we said what it was for. And we have dug out a couple of oldies that we haven't played for quite some time, so they'll be there. And we have got quite a few new originals we just haven't put into the set yet. So we were trying to squeeze one in, but I'm not sure that's going to happen now after rehearsal of last night. But there'll be a couple of oldies that no one's heard for a while, so it should be good fun.
Excellent. I am looking forward to it. So should you. It is going to be a top night. It's great to see we can put a full night of ska on at the Nightcat. It's a venue that is very, very different. We're playing in the round. So have you guys played the Nightcat before?
We have. We played there once. I reckon about 15 years ago, back in the day when Henry and Maxi Valla owned the place. I don't know who owns it these days, but I knew those guys quite well. In fact, I saw Max the other day at a funeral, strangely enough. Max, Relax with Max, if anybody remembers. But I saw Max the other week. But it'd be good fun. And I was just talking to a couple of guys from Jet the other day, and I know they played a show there with their new albums. I said to Louis, I said, oh, how's it going? He goes, oh, it's that really weird room where you sort of play in the middle again. I go, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So anyway, that's fine. We'll have fun. It'll be like a Metallica show.
Well, I can't afford the rotating stage, unfortunately. I wish I could.
It's fine. We'll have a ball.
That is very, very true. Like I said, Friday night, the Nightcat, Area 7, the Kitty Hawks, Looney Tunes, Pirate Ska Rebellion, and Operation Big Jake Bostone. Doors are at 7:30, first band at 8. Steve-O, I am honoured to call you a good mate. I've known you 23. Let's not think about that. It's too.
Yeah, let's not think about that. I just had my birthday the other day, and someone said, "How old are you?" And I said, "I just turned 30." And they said, "30?" I said, "Yeah, 30 for the second time."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I tell everyone I've been 21 since I was 16. So I mean, that's the bottom line.
There you go.
All righty, mate. Thank you so much. I will see you on Friday night. It is going to be awesome. Like I said, I cannot thank you enough.
No problems, mate. And it's our absolute honour to be there, and we will have an absolute ball. So everybody, get down there. It's going to be fun. It will be a party. Bring a spare T-shirt. You'll need it.
Definitely.
They always said that you would never be anything. Everything you tried to do was just a waste. You made your mind up and you never knew.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.